Hello, .NET readers, members, and listeners. My name is John Moore, and this is the ProWrestling.net All Access audio review for the WWE 205 Live show that aired September 5th, 2017 on the WWE Network. After the ad break for non-members, you will get our full-on audio review for the show that featured a five-way elimination main event to find out who Neville will face at WWE No Mercy. This was a nice compact episode of WWE 205 Live. There wasn't anything too offensive. At least I ended up pretty not angry at the end of the show. I had a really good main event. That told a really good story. Something that 205 Live doesn't usually do. But we also got a new commentary team that I wasn't fully looking forward to at first. I like that Nigel McGuinness is getting a main roster shot. But it's just Vic Joseph hasn't really impressed me, and he still has something to prove. So you have two guys with something to prove, and Vic Joseph not being that great on play-by-play. But they didn't blow me out of the water, but they were fine tonight, and Nigel was pretty good, as usual. This show overall was fine. WWE usually does a good job with these five-ways. In telling stories with multi-man matches. Believe it or not, this is something TNA has failed to do for years with their single fall 6-5-4-3 ways. They're doing good two ways now, and they're doing those better than WWE, so they can learn from each other now. But I'll go into my actual review now. This week's episode aired live after SmackDown. From Sioux Falls, North Dakota at Denny Stanford Premier Center. I copied and pasted that from Jake Barnett's SmackDown report. But if you would like to follow along with my report, you can for 205 Live. Check out Jake's SmackDown report. He does a great job with the SmackDown reports and use that as a guide to Jason Powell's audio review, which you could get if you were a member. And I'll be going into .NET membership later on. But if you'd like to follow along with my audio review, you can check out my written review, which is posted on ProWrestling.net. I'll be using it for notes and to keep me on track. As I said, this is 205 Live. The show started off with an intro teaser, a fairly nice one. It had it was just hyping up the five-way, and everyone got to get their own one-liners in. Pretty solid. After the intro theme, which now includes Enzo Amore, we had Vic Joseph checking on commentary and introducing his new broadcast partner, Nigel McGuinness, who said 205 Live was the epitome of finesse, technique, and speed. I like that sentence. That's way better than the most exciting hour of television, which is not. Being a little bit more general makes more sense. Let's move along. Our first match of the night was Ari Daivari versus TJP in a singles match. And you had Rich Swann at ringside. He was sitting on top of a chair on top of the announce table. It was just to show off to TJP. Makes a lot of sense in given this storyline, even though the storyline isn't great. The first match ended with TJP defeating Ari Daivari via pinfall in 4 minutes and 3 seconds. So you had Daivari going for his frog splash. I still call it the magic carpetless ride, as Austin Aries used to call it when he was calling 205 Live. He missed it because he paid attention to Rich Swann. And TJP hit the detonation kick on Ari Daivari to pick up the pinfall win. So I do like that they protected Daivari somewhat there, even though I wouldn't have put him in this position to lose 2 weeks in a row. They were doing a good, a solid job giving him a good string of wins over people like Neville. He didn't pin Neville, but he beat Neville via countout. He also beat TJP, I think. I forget. He beat Rich Swann. He was beating a few guys you would see in the main events of 205 Live. I think he beat Jack Gallagher. I can't remember, but he was putting on some good wins, and he had this weird, he would dedicate all his matches to Olympians of the past. This week, he cut a simple picture promo before the match, and it wasn't anything to write home about, but I thought the tone he used was on point. He usually sounds like, and this was something both him and his brother Sean Daivari are from Minnesota, so they, and not saying anything about Minnesotans. I mean, he just sounds like a regular American dude. I remember when Daivari first revealed that on WWE television. It was at the WWE court trial of Eric Bischoff, and it surprised me when Daivari did it. But Sean did. So Aria even more sounds more American, or just more like a normal dude. Before this match, he sounded like an angry, vicious dude with an edge to him. So he should keep that angry tone. I liked it. Not to sound like a guy reading lines. After the match, you had Rich Swann walking in the ring and saying TJP better be ready for next week. Simple as that. Because, of course, TJP has been sort of feigning an injury for the last couple weeks, or I'm not sure if it was real or not, but last week he had the crutches and the knee brace and ended up just performing his moves fine on Arya Daivari when Daivari like teased him. So what was weird about this match, this when you want to think of it from a fan viewing perspective, it's a like hedging heel versus a full bore heel, so it was like sort of heel versus heel match. Who are you supposed to really cheer for? As far as in ring quality though, TJP was really good, even though it was only 4 minutes. He got his chain wrestling in and his quick strikes. This is the pace he should be working a little bit more in his both NXT or main roster matches. That style can work well on both sides as long as he does the correct selling in between the attacking. And another note that Nigel pointed out is that this style is very similar to Shinsuke Nakamura. I believe Nigel was the one who called the Shinsuke Nakamura versus TJ Perkins match earlier in this year, one that I said was Nakamura's best TV match in 2017. On one hand, Nakamura hasn't had that many great matches in 2017, but he had a really good one against TJP. That's not to sell TJP short. He just has a weird character right now. I compare it to a light version of Swaggy P. Nick Young, where when Swaggy P does it, he's a little bit more natural, and it's like Perkins is trying to be Swaggy P. And if you don't know who Swaggy P is, I understand if you don't watch Lakers games, they lose. But their shooting guard the last couple years has been Nick Young, and he goes by Swaggy P. There you go. Has that really cocky, laid-back attitude. Let's not talk about Swaggy P anymore. Let's move on. Nigel McGuinness told us after the commercial break that he received a text message from Kurt Angle, who booked Perkins versus Swan for next week. Then Drew Gulak made his entrance, and I said his entrance theme sounds like it should be in a Sonic the Hedgehog game. I'm just thinking of that because Sonic Mania just came out. He did his usual. He wants a better 205 Live. The crowd chanted Captain Underpants, so there's a benefit of Enzo in 205 Live, and I'm not saying that is a negative. Enzo Amore on 205 Live, while it's a bit odd that because he is not great in the ring, and they're making a story out of that, so at least there's that. But what he does improve is he improves the live event experience. So instead of having crowds, march to the concession stands or ignore, just fall asleep or hang out on their cell phones, people are participating, and they chanted Captain Underpants here, and they're awaiting Enzo Amore later on in the main event so they can participate in his shtick, his certified G SAWFT stuff. So there is a positive to having Enzo on this roster? Just how long will this last, and how long can they pull off having to take shortcuts in his matches? And I'm not saying that just as the cheating way. It's more so it's used to hide his deficiencies in the ring. He missed that eat defeat a couple of weeks ago, and that it's not just that. They were hiding him in last week's tag team match. Enzo needs a little bit more seasoning. But he, as he said, we'll say later on, he does have the gift of gab, so let's see where that takes him. The next match of the night was another grudge match. It was Drew Gulak versus Akira Tozawa. A fairly good, hard-hitting match. Drew Gulak with this new character has done him wonders. The key with Drew Gulak is to keep him the hell away from Tony Nese, who hasn't reset his character. And Tony Nese is just a loser Chris Masters wannabe. Chris Masters didn't lose a lot when he was the body guy at first, but Tony Nese does, and Tony Nese comes off as very dorky. So Tony Nese is not great. But we're not talking about Tony Nese now. He's in the main event. Does some pretty good stuff there. But we had Akira Tozawa defeating Drew Gulak via pinfall in 6 minutes and 39 seconds. This was pretty much Akira Tozawa dominating, getting to show some of his good moves. He hit his usual cool-looking suicide dive. Might be up there in my top suicide dives in pro wrestling that are happening at the moment. Might have surpassed Austin Aries. The top tope in pro wrestling is still Hijo de Fantasma in AAA, who does this really sick arrow from the depths of hell type tope. Tozawa eventually gave a kick to Drew Gulak, which set him up for his high diving senton to pick up the win. And Tozawa gets a lot of air off of that senton. So, fairly good match, very inoffensive. Has nothing to do with storylines, but it's good to have Tozawa get back to winning before they put him in another feud. Let's just hope they don't put him against Brian Kendrick or someone. He already beat Brian Kendrick. Maybe they could put him against Cedric Alexander. More into that in a little bit. We'll take a little break right now to talk about .NET membership. It's time for the plug. For the price of $7.50 a month, you can get full ad-free access to the site and all our audios and articles that we have on a member exclusive basis. We give you reviews like this one every once in a while, like you probably get a 205 NXT Raw SmackDown 1 once, twice a month at the most. But know that the .NET members get all these reviews every single day of the week. Every single day, every single week. We also have Jason Powell has a Q&A audio show. What I'm supposed to get into here. Here we also cover not just WWE, we cover all the major WWE shows and this one minor one. We also cover Ring of Honor, Global Force, Lucha Underground 2. We got you covered. Special update, Jason Powell is going to have a .NET Weekly show today on Wednesday, September 6, 2017. If there's any delays, you'll get it tomorrow at your regularly scheduled time. The co-host this week and the .NET Weekly show is our flagship show where Jason Powell and a co-host go over the news of the week and any speech special features. There's a special feature this week because the guest is .NET staffer Zach Zimmerman, who was out in my neck of the woods in good old 100 plus degree California. Nice weekend to show up. It was Battle for Los Angeles this past weekend. I actually wasn't in SoCal this past weekend due to me living in NorCal now, but my hometown's SoCal, so I know how hot it gets. And I know how hot Reseda slash Northridge can get. And the smell of oranges doesn't even reach Reseda. That's Burbank. If you wanted to know, north of LA. But Zach Zimmerman will be on the .NET Weekly show to talk about his experience at the Battle for Los Angeles, which is the largest independent wrestling tournament in the arguably in the world. And yeah, I can go over more of the perks for .NET membership, but that'll take a lot of time. We have like comprehensive archives and everything. I won't keep you hanging on this plug. Just check us out for a month, and if you like the content, you can sign up for the annual option, which will bring your price down from $7.50 to down to an average of $5.50 a month. There's the plug. Now you should try it out. Now back to the review. After the Gulak versus Tozawa match, we had Dasha Fuentes interviewing. I think it was Dasha Fuentes. No one really said it. Usually, when Kendrick or Neville are interviewed, they'll go Dasha or Dasha. That's whoever's saying it. Dasha talked to Enzo about working. Where Enzo talks about working smarter than harder. This is because Enzo's been cheating in all his matches. Enzo said he looks smart. He talked about having the gift of gab. He then talked about all his opponents. And Neville walked in. Neville said this was an arena for real competitors, that's 205 Live, and serious athletes. Neville said Enzo isn't either of those. Enzo then called Neville Frodo and said this isn't a Game of Thrones, and he was here for Neville's title after No Mercy. So, simple exchange. Let's move on to the main event, which was The Brian Kendrick versus Cedric Alexander versus Grand Metalik versus Tony Nese versus Enzo Amore in a five-way elimination match to become the number one contender to the WWE Cruiserweight Championship. And this was fairly good. WWE does a really good job with these five ways somehow. How the rest of their singles matches are very slow and formulaic, but this one was very high action and told a really good story at the end. So I'll just skip on to the end of the match. And the story that they were telling was Cedric Alexander, he was on fire. He was just hitting lumbar checks on people. So the first one eliminated was Tony Nese. Then Grand Metalik. So Tony Nese was working on Grand Metalik. Cedric Alexander comes in, gives Tony Nese the lumbar check, and picks up the victory over him. Does the same thing to Grand Metalik afterwards. Brian Kendrick gets tripped on the apron, hit with a lumbar check for the three count. Wow, he hit off this three guys in a row with the lumbar check in quick succession. Not too quick. To that, it comes off as cartoony and they're trying to rush the match, but good enough to make Cedric Alexander look dominant. Out of nowhere, Enzo Amore comes in and grabs the tights of Cedric Alexander to steal the win. So Enzo Amore wins via pinfall to become the number one contender to the WWE Cruiserweight Championship. And yeah, that was shaky a little bit. Enzo Amore still doesn't have in-ring credibility, and I'm not sure how far this character is gonna get him. This cheating type character as a babyface. The crowd is still behind him because he could just quickly win them over by talking about certified G's and stuff. But yeah, I'm not quite sure. I just hope he doesn't end up in being like R-Truth or what he kind of reminds me of just because of the tag team breakup, reminds me of where JTG was after Crime Time when they broke him away from Chad Gaspard, his big man, and he was the little man who did the mic work. JTG wasn't as great as Enzo was on the mic, but I can see his mic work getting old. What I did find interesting and liked somewhat was Cedric Alexander after the match. He was overselling to the point where it was cartoony, but it made sense because, like, how else would you react? You put in all that hard work in the end only to have the cheater come up and roll you up for the win. Not sure if they're thinking of turning Cedric Alexander heel. Don't remember him ever playing a great heel. I think he turned heel like when he was the first guy to pin Moose, but That went nowhere. If he was heel, that's where Alicia Fox would have worked out. I hope we don't get the return of Alicia Fox. That would suck. And Noam Dar and all that good, that not good mess. But I like the overselling at the end because he was selling the agony of defeat, even though it was a bit cartoony. I believe anyone would sell that cartoonily, even in real life. So interesting to see where they go there. I'm more intrigued to see what they're going to do with Cedric Alexander coming out than Enzo Amore, which is going to be happening at No Mercy. I'm almost pretty sure Neville's going to come out with the win there. If Enzo wins, then so what? It's 205 Live. And at the same time, it will kill the credibility of 205 Live a little bit. I mean, the only way Enzo's going to win is if he cheats. But Neville cheats too, and Neville has the athleticism to back up the cheating, so he uses the cheating as an additional tool in his repertoire. So there we go. Enzo's our new number one contender of WWE 205 Live. It was a pretty good show, and I liked the story they were telling with Cedric Alexander. I hope maybe this can somehow lead to a Cedric Alexander versus Enzo Amore feud. Preferably too, if they can turn Enzo a heel out of this, because that can work, maybe. He could just be the cheating heel where his cheating works, where he's like the best at cheating. Just have that be a thing. Or maybe Cedric Alexander will be a good heel. I'm not quite sure how he will do. I just remember the last time I remember him being a heel, it didn't lead to anything. So that's it with my 205 Live review. Again, if you're a .NET member, go check out .NET Weekly later on with Zach Zimmerman and Jason Powell talking about the news and Battle for Los Angeles. And I will be back later on tomorrow with my WWE, not WWE, Lucha Underground audio review. One that I usually feel much happier reviewing than 205 Live. But interesting enough, Lucha Underground has been kind of weird the last couple weeks too. So, fingers crossed that I get a good show tonight. With that said, have a nice one. Happy heat wave if you're in California. That heat wave's calming down. I don't know if you guys got heat waves anywhere else, but hope the weather's nice where you are. And happy football season. That thing is coming up as well. So, there you go. Thank you so much. Bye bye.